A Billboard Evangelism Phone Dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a CAM phone team member and a billboard caller who dialed the toll-free number posted on every gospel billboard. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God and give Him the glory for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers.
Good evening, Gospel Billboard. This is Philip. How are you this evening?
Hi, Philip.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Okay.
Can you tell me, how do I know if God is real?
Pardon me?
Can you prove to me that God is real?
What are you asking for?
That's exactly whatever I just asked.
What would you consider proof that God is real?
I'm trying to find God, and I don't seem to find Him.
Okay. Where are you looking?
Who am I looking to?
No, where are you looking?
Where?
Yes.
In the Holy Book.
Okay. Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
Well, I'm just asking you which book you consider to be the Holy Book.
What do you consider the Holy Book?
No, I'm asking you which one you're looking. See, I'm trying to discover where you're looking for God. Okay, sure. That's good. So the Bible tells us that God can be seen in several different areas. One of them is in His creation, the universe. The other is in human morality. And the most significant of all, though, is in Jesus. We can discover God in Jesus. And so I would encourage you to read the Gospels.
How is
the first
God
four...
true if there's two gods out there? That's what I don't understand. You know, there's Judaism and then there's Christianity. I myself don't know where to end. There's Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism. So
well, you have to look at what lines up best with reality.
So what matches best with reality?
What I mean by that is that when you look around you at the world and how people are living, are people basically living good or are they living bad?
But which one is the best religion?
Well, that's what I'm trying to help you to come to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You see, when we look around us and we see the way that men are relating to one another, we see that man is basically bad in how he relates to his fellow man. And you know, a lot of people will argue with that, but, you know, the 20th century was the most destructive century yet in the history of man. And so we have to conclude that man is not living in a better way towards the rest of humanity, but actually in a worse way, to mean he is basically moving towards evil, not towards good. We can see that reality as well in our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing that we need to look at is what gives us answers for the reality of the universe that we live in. And I believe that very strongly the universe we live in points to a very intelligent design, and that intelligent design had to be created by a being who is far greater than humans. And last of all, I believe we need to look at what sin looks like to that God, what evil looks like to that God, and ask ourselves, can we correct life simply through good behavior? Or does there need to be payment for the sins that we have committed?
Okay.
And
can I ask you another question?
Sure.
Does a person go to hell for doing sins?
Yes, sin separates us from God. And the torment of hell is going to be the fact that we're separated from all the good that there is. We're going to be separated from God forever.
What is hell? What do you mean? What do you mean forever? Like if we do one sin, so we're forever without God?
That's why God sent his son, so that we could come to know who he is. And so that we didn't need to be lost for eternity.
But we are lost now.
We are lost. All who have not come to know God are lost because they're separated from him.
So who's the son that he sends?
Jesus.
So Jesus is not our God. Who is he to us?
He is our God, actually. He came as God.
Doesn't make sense, though.
Well, but you see, we can't even comprehend the universe that we can see. So how can we comprehend the one who created it? How can we completely comprehend that?
So then how can we like know that this is all this is the truth and not lies if we can't even comprehend the universe?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, it comes back to recognizing the reality that we do know and comparing the truth with what we do know, because I believe that in Christianity you find the answers to all of those questions that I was asking about reality. It talks about the basic need of man for to be redeemed from sin, and that there's a sacrifice that must be paid for sin, or there's a cost that it must be paid for sin, and that God extended to us the payment so that we could be free. And
yeah, but how can a God love his kids by punishing them in hell?
Well, that really comes back to the question of whether we accept what he has done for us, because you see, he's extended something to us to keep us from that.
So
he's
Okay. Right, I understand that. Okay, so who's Moses and who is he? Like, what's that whole concept with Moses and Muhammad?
Okay, so Moses was before Christ, before Jesus, and he came as a lawgiver. He came to give God's law, and in giving God's law, the Bible says that God's law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. A schoolmaster is a teacher or someone who shows us what we should be. And that's what the law did.
Okay,
the law showed us how we should live, but it didn't give the answers of how to live that way.
Wait, I'm sorry. So those laws, I'm sorry, can you please say that again? That was like a little bit of a tongue twister. The laws.
Okay, sure.
The laws told us how to live, but no, the laws like gave us ways. I didn't understand that.
The law showed us how we should live. Let me make an illustration for you. So Let's say that you were driving down the road and the speed limit said 55.
Okay.
But your accelerator was stuck and you couldn't go less than 65.
Okay.
So the law showed you what you should be driving and what speed you should be driving,
but not how
you
to.
Didn't exactly not how to
so
go the right speed.
So that's how the laws. So that's the law that was. So I don't get it. You said Moses was a messenger that sent the laws.
Well, the law came from God through Moses.
But how
does that make Moses God too?
No, it doesn't.
Why? So who's okay?
So can you explain to me how Jesus is God?
Sure. So Jesus is God because he is the Son of God. You see,
okay,
Moses also the Son of God?
No.
Oh.
Moses was the son of a man. He was a human. Jesus was the Son of God. He was divine. And actually, the book of Daniel in the Old Testament talks about a man who would come, he would come as a man, but he would be worshipped as God, and that he would be the one that had been that the Old Testament had. I don't know the exact wording, but he would be the one who would be the ruler forever, the ruler of God's kingdom, and that was referring to Jesus. And then Jesus, when he was on, go ahead.
But you said that like he was the Son of God. That's what makes him God, right?
Right.
So like, how can, like, aren't all of us like the kids of God? So like, aren't we all daughters and sons of God?
Well,
like,
through,
you know,
Jesus, yes, I do. Okay, there's two ways to look at that. One of them is that God created us in his image. And so in that sense, we have a special place in the creation of God, a place of being in a small, very small way like him. And so we have a likeness of God, but God created us human, not divine.
Okay.
And so in that way, we are not.
So divine. So Jesus was divine?
Jesus was divine. That's right.
So, like, what did he do that was so divine? I'm sorry. This was just in my head, you know, and I was actually driving on the highway, and I saw you guys had an ad that said, heaven or hell, call us for the truth. So I'm actually,
sure.
Like, I really thought that was a sign from God, so I wanted to call.
Sure. So.
But. Yeah.
So your question is, how was Jesus divine? Well, it's like this.
Yeah.
So I was born, my father's name, his last name was Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N.
Okay.
And I carry on his genetics, a combination actually of his genetics and my mom's genetics. In the same way, Jesus, when Jesus was born, it says that the Holy Spirit, when he was conceived, it said that the Holy Spirit would conceive Jesus in the womb of a virgin. So it was not a birth that was a normal birth, and he carries on the genetics of God as God's son. And so,
Jesus, though?
What's that?
Wasn't a Jesus Jewish?
Well,
how does it make sense that he is the God of a group of Christianity people that are not Jews? But then again, he was Jewish himself. I'm really confused on that also.
Sure. So.
And also, just before I forget the second question, who, like, the whole thing with like the way Jesus was crucified, like, who did that to him?
Sure. All right.
Okay,
so let's start out with the first question.
Okay.
Which related to him being Jewish. So in the very beginning, when God chose the Jewish people to be his people, he chose Abraham. And he said,
okay,
in you will all the nations of the earth be blessed. In other words, through Abraham's descendants, everyone in the world will be blessed.
Okay.
And he was telling Abraham that Jesus is going to come from your line. So the people that are the Jews are the descendants of Abraham. And Jesus was born to that, as God had promised that he would be. So the fact that he was Jewish is simply a fulfillment of what God said would happen, another proof that he was who God sent for our salvation. And so,
but if God chose Abraham, doesn't that mean that he chose the Jewish people and not the Christians people, the Christians?
So he chose the Jewish people because he wanted them to come to know who he was. And the way for that to happen was going to be through his son. And many of them, not all of them, but many of them rejected his son when he actually came, the promised Messiah. And you see, God doesn't force anyone to believe in him. God doesn't force anyone to follow him. God calls people to follow him of their own choice. And so it really came down to, it did not come down to whether the Jews were Jews or not. It came down to whether they were willing to follow God. And some of them were not willing, and they rejected him and said, we're going to maintain the old practices instead of accepting the Messiah that God promised. We're going to maintain our old practices and continue on in that way. And that's not what God intended. God intended for the law, the Jewish law, to establish our need for God, our need for Christ. And then when Jesus came, then we would turn to him for salvation. And many of the Jews did that.
Why did the Jews have to turn to him for salvation? And why can't they just turn to God?
Because man had several basic needs. One of them was to be freed from sin. The other was to receive life. Because God said that in the day that you sin, he told Adam and Eve, you will surely die. And that was a spiritual death. And Jesus said, you need to be born again. You need to have a spiritual birth to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so the very core of what we need is, first of all, forgiveness of sins, and second, we need new life. And every human being needs that, whether they're Jewish or whether they're not. And God offers that through Jesus.
Okay, I understand. Can you go to my second question about who crucified Jesus?
Right. So the Jewish leaders turned him over to the Roman authorities and accused him of saying that he was a king, and the Roman authorities had him crucified.
Oh, okay. So my question is here. I used to be an atheist, and I'm just looking for the right religion, and I'm not sure if it's Judaism, Christianity, or Islamic. And I'm not sure, like, what path to go by. Because, like,
sure, there's
so many different stories out there. There's the Judaism where most people believe is the real God. And then there's Christian, this religion where there's Jesus, the real guy. And then there's Islamic where Allah Akbar is their God. So we don't know what to choose.
Mm-hmm. So here's how I would direct you. Do you have a Bible?
Right.
Take the Bible.
There's the Torah and there's the Quran. Which one?
I'm talking about the Bible, not the Quran.
Okay. But my question is, how do you know what's the truth? Like, how do you know if it's the Quran or the or the Bible or the Torah that's the truth. Like, how do I don't want to just go down the wrong path, you know, in life.
Mm-hmm. So the way that you know is to compare with reality, and that's why I started there. What you really need is the answers to the human to human reality, and so that's the truth. And my encouragement to you is just to read the life and teachings of Jesus to find out who he was, and let him answer for himself about who he is. And as you read, just ask God to show you what the truth is. And God is able to show you the truth.
Which God do I ask? Never mind. Hello?
So, yes. So I'm not telling you that Christianity is the right way. I'm not telling you that Islam is the wrong way. I'm simply telling
right.
you, asking you to test Jesus against reality.
So how do I do that? Give me one way I can do it.
Okay, just read what he teaches, read what he says, and ask yourself, what if everyone in the world lived this way? What would that mean?
Yeah, but all the religions, you can open up their Quran and their Torah or the Bible, and you can look at all the ways their history lived and the way we live, and you can compare it the same exact way. Like, you understand what I mean? Like, from the history, like, if you, all the stories that happened, it's to teach us a lesson and so that we should learn from it. So you can see that in every religion. It's not just from Jesus.
So you're just going to have, if you're wondering which one is the right one, you're just going to have to test them.
So I should test all of them, you're saying?
You're going to have to at least dig deep enough to answer that question in your own heart, because
can I know your opinion, like what's in your heart?
Okay, sure, I'm happy to tell you that.
Thank you. I'm sorry, maybe I'm getting a little personal, but I just really need to know the truth.
No, that's fine. So I came to a place in my life where I needed answers. And those answers related to my relationships. And
okay, can I
ask started
you a
reading.
Are you a priest?
I'm not. No.
How do you know? How do you know like all these answers so well? And
from studying
know, like,
the Bible.
How do you know? So you're just studying the Bible, but you're not. Okay, fine. I hear. Okay, so yeah continue
most,
with your story.
And mostly studying the Bible. I do other reading as well, but. Largely what I believe is centered around what the Bible teaches. And
so did you ever want to try other religions to see what that is, or you just believe that that Christianity was there for you?
Well, initially I turned to Christianity because no one's born Christian. But I had seen people who were Christians who were living lives that I wanted. There were things in their lives that were positive in my experience. And so I wanted to know the truth about Jesus.
But why do you think Jesus is the truth? Like, you wanted to know the truth about him, but why do you think that he's the truth?
Okay, so from that perspective, it wasn't so easy to see. But now from this perspective, it's a lot easier to see. So I have now, since I became a Christian, I have nearly 20 years of experience as a Christian and living the way Jesus taught to live. Now, it doesn't mean I'd live perfectly, but I've been striving to follow Jesus, especially the last 15 years. The first several years after I became a Christian, I didn't really understand a lot of what it meant to follow Jesus and live the way he wanted me to, because I hadn't developed a relationship with him. But the last 15 years, my life has, or my experience with God has really proven itself, because the things that...
Right, okay, yeah.
The things that I set as goals, the things that I needed answers for, the answers that I found in God's Word have come true. They have proved themselves time and time again. And so, to me, it's not only, you know, coming to a place of knowledge, but it's also an experience now of experiencing the truth of God's Word, experiencing the wisdom of God's Word, experiencing how it relates to life, and
so can I,
finding
can
it
I
to be
ask
true.
You,
sure.
Can I ask you, when you pray, do you pray to Jesus or you pray to his Father?
I pray to the Father in Jesus' name.
What does that mean? Like Jesus prays for you?
Well, the Bible teaches that Jesus is our advocate, or he's the one who is our, similar to our lawyer with God, but it's more like a friend who knows us and knows our experience as humans, because he came and lived here and experienced the pain and suffering of the world.
So did Moses, and so did Abraham. So, what's his name? Muhammad. So how do we know who really we should be praying to? Or...
Yeah. Well, Jesus claimed divinity, and none of the other biblical characters claimed divinity.
What's divinity?
And, well, that he was divine. That he was God. And the New Testament teaches that Jesus was God. It says the Word became flesh. The Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And it says the Word was God. And so Jesus claimed divinity, and he accepted worship. And those are all things that the other biblical characters did not accept, like Moses and Abraham. Now, when it comes to Muhammad, you see, Muhammad was many years after Jesus, and he does not agree with Jesus. So he's distinctly different.
Why is Jesus the special one here? Like, why does everyone have to agree or disagree with him? Like, why not anyone else?
Well,
can I just tell you, like, I spoke to a rabbi, and he told me that, and I also spoke to, like the people from, like, the Islamic culture and religion, and they, like, all told me about their religions, and every time I speak to someone else, like, a priest or whatever from each religion, they just all sound like the truth, so that's why I'm just really confused on who to believe.
And that's why I'm encouraging you to test Jesus, because...
So you're telling me that if I test Jesus, I'll see that it's the truth?
That's right. It will identify with reality. It will identify with your own heart. And I think that's the very crux of it. You need something to identify with your own heart. And Jesus will do that.
Okay, thank you. So I guess I'll try. Let me see if I have. Can I just see a minute if I have any other questions that I remember before we drop?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you think maybe I should, you know what, I'll be honest with you, what I'm scared of? I'm scared to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, what can I do about that? Like, is there anything, like, will Jesus stop me from going to hell?
He is the answer.
But will he stop me, like, from going there? Like, everyone sins in this world, right? So, like, will he stop me? Like, if I, like, repent, will he stop me from going there? If I, like, reach out to him?
Yes.
How do you know that?
Well, just like I was telling you, it identified with my heart. And now I have the experience of knowing the truth. And so then there's also the element of faith, where when something proves itself to be true in some areas, then we also trust that in other areas. And Jesus has promised that he is the way to eternal life. And it is through him that we find eternal life. And so there's an aspect of faith. Of course, there's an aspect of faith in everything that we do. But there's a very real aspect of faith in the sense that we trust what Jesus says on the basis of that identity with our heart.
So you're saying that, like, God chose Jesus to tell the whole world how to live life?
That's
so
right.
Maybe you guys are the truth.
Yeah,
I hear. All right, I guess.
All right, thank you.
So now I have a question for you. I think I already asked you this question. Do you have a Bible?
No. I just went to church and read from there. I don't personally own one.
Sure. Well, I can send you a Bible for free if you would like.
No, we're good.
You can download one on your phone or whatever. But I'll be happy to send you one as well. And
is this like the Bible of like every single story that happened, or is this like a certain book?
It's the Bible is in its entirety. It's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's what
Isn't
I was going to explain
Testament
to
the
you.
Torah?
Yes, the same as the Torah.
So like why is the religion separated then if it's the one same book?
Because it's like taking a history book and accepting only the first 10 chapters but not the last 3.
But why would you ever want to do that? Why would you want
to
accept the last 10 chapters but not the first? Why would you want to accept the old but not the new?
Right.
Like, wouldn't you want to accept it to begin?
That's a great question. So one of the main reasons why many of the Jews did not want to accept Jesus was because they believed he was going to be a political leader, a ruler that was going to free them in a physical way. And Jesus did not come to do that. He came to free us in a spiritual way. And so they didn't want to accept a Messiah who was not going to free them in a physical way. And because of that, they rejected him. The very one, Jesus himself says, you know, that those books, they speak of me. They tell you about me. But they were not willing to accept him.
Who wasn't willing to accept him? The Jews?
Yeah, the Jews weren't willing to. Many of the Jews. Now, some of them did. But many of them did not.
So what about the ones that did? So what happened with them? They're Christians now?
They became Christians, yes.
I hear. And the Jews that didn't, are Jewish?
That's right.
But how can a Jew, like, become a Christian?
By accepting Jesus as the Messiah.
Oh, wow, I hear. Okay, I'm going to look further into this because it is getting late and I did park my car and I'm home. I really appreciate your time and help. And
sure.
If I have another question, maybe I can just give a call back. Thank you so much.
Well, I just like to tell you about how the Bible is laid out so you can understand it a little bit. The Old Testament Torah is what we were talking about. It's like it's what tells you about Jesus, or it points to Jesus. The New Testament is where the life and teachings of Jesus are. So start at the beginning of the New Testament to read.
Oh, so it's not in the old one. It's separated. I hear you.
That's right. It is separated. And the best place to start reading to understand who Jesus is to start in the New Testament. That begins with his life and teachings. And so that can give you an idea about who Jesus is, as well as learn to know, you know, what his teachings were and what kind of a person he was.
Okay. I will.
Thank you very much for calling. Sure.
Have a great night.
You have a good night. Yeah. Goodbye.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism Program? Here are several ways. Please pray for our dedicated phone team who speaks with thousands of spiritually hungry Americans over the phone. Sign up to receive an urgent prayer alert on your phone and a weekly email containing several prayer requests concerning callers' spiritual needs. To listen to recorded prayer requests, call 330-800-9203 anytime. The door of opportunity to present Jesus and his word on billboards is wide open. CAM has established excellent connections with our nation's largest billboard companies, enabling us to obtain significant discounts. $1 presents a gospel message over 1,000 times. If you wish to impact Americans with a gospel message, your help will be greatly appreciated. The Adopt-A-Billboard sponsorship program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt-A-Billboard sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at ChristianAidMinistries.org.